The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
A vote on the highly contentious Mercosur trade deal is expected tomorrow, and now we've had the announcement from the Irish government that they will not be voting for that deal. What's that all about? Did they bottle it in the face of objections from farmers? Or was this a considered position, deciding that on balance, Ireland would benefit more by no Mercosur versus having a Mercosur deal? Daniel McConnell is editor of the Business Post, and he's with me in studio. So we're all a bit ambushed by this sudden announcement by the government, are we not?
It was sort of heading this way, I think, for the last 24 hours, Pat. I mean, there was definitely a high level of activity when the government talks. And obviously, Martin Hayden, the agriculture minister, had come out and saying he was still quite negative towards the deal last night. That, I think, was a harbinger of this morning's announcement. You obviously had the independent ministers articulating their concerns. You've had Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael backbenchers out on radio elsewhere articulating their concerns. I think it's been somewhat overblown that this posed a threat to the stability of the government, etc. like that. But I do think there was a chasm opening up. I think, and speaking and getting briefed on this morning, this has much more to do with internal Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil politics as to, you know, they have to make sure that their royal lobby within their own party is secure.
Well, let's first of all cut to the chase, because we're going to have a vote, one presumes. Now, they may defer it again, but looks like they will have a vote. And it can be stopped by a blocking minority. With us becoming part of that blocking minority, will there be enough to stop it, do you think?
No, I think the fact that Italy has gone the way it's gone, I think, you know, there's a confidence at Brussels level that, that this will pass.
So this is cakeism. We want to have our cake and eat it. We want to be officially opposed to appease the farmers, knowing that it will go through.
There's a degree of comfort, I think, in the government's decision this morning, knowing that if that, you know, we can say we're against it, knowing that it'll go through, because there's quite an awful lot of people within government who think this is a good thing and are happy for it to go through. I think we'd be in a very different space if Ireland had the balance of power. If we were that, if our switch kind of, the whole thing hinged on Ireland, we'd be in a very different space altogether.
So France is opposed.
Yeah.
And we're opposed. Who else?
Well, France is not formalised, because again, being briefed on this morning, Ireland and France have always traditionally moved lockstep at agricultural matters at EU level. France is yet to declare its formal position. So they were waiting, I think, but I think the fact that Ireland has gone this way is a clear intent that France will ultimately go no as well. Italy has gone yes. Germany has obviously gone yes. We are looking at sort of there's enough of the bloc going positive on this for Ursula von der Leyen to be able to go over to Brazil and sell this big trade deal. But Ireland can now walk that fine line, saying, having formally opposed it, but knowing that it'll go through anyway.
One of the texts that we had yesterday said, you know, that Irish farmers are paying for basically the German car industry. That's what this is about. They sell cars. We are inundated with South American beef.
Yeah, and this is, I suppose, there's been a big argument over the last day. Is Ireland being swamped? Is the European market actually going to be swamped by Brazilian beef? You know, the headline figures, but you know, it's 1.4% for poultry. It's 1.6% for beef. So the numbers on a top level, on a headline level, are small. I suppose the fear from an Irish agriculture perspective, they're held to a much higher level of standards. Their margins are very tight. They argue that they're already been put to the pin of their collar by European regulations, etc. like that. And this is the sort of thin end of the wedge that'll push some of them into unviability. There's already a crisis within the agricultural sector that, you know, you don't have that pipeline of young farmers coming in. This will make it even more difficult. But there is obviously, you know, there's the charge against Ireland is, you on one level, was hold dear your corporate tax advantage, and you have done so for many years, to give you a competitive edge. And yet at the same time, you're now screaming for protectionism for your farmers. You can't have it both ways. That's the charge being levelled against Ireland. And ultimately, I think we are an open economy. We believe in free trade as a formal policy of government. So that there is, you know, and we are at the mercy of being a very small member of a big European bloc.
What's in it for us? I mean, what do we get to sell them in huge amounts that will compensate for any damage to the farms?
That's less than clear, I mean, from my perspective, because again, our beef that tends to go into the international market goes in at a premium level. It's a premium product. You know what I mean? It's developed at a very high standard. It is sold to premium markets all across the world, in terms of America, in terms of the Far East. Obviously, the Taoiseach is in China today and this week trying to get more access to Irish beef into a very big market there. So it's very unclear from my perspective as of yet, what's the tangible benefit of Mercosur to Ireland?
Are we flogging them for a pharma?
We could be. But again, I think from a European level, and again, what I was being briefed on this morning is this is essentially Ireland being part of a big trading bloc. The direct benefit may not be coming our way, but there is a benefit to Europe for all of this, and it's one that it's the price we pay for being part of the club.
And if you take a more strategic view, you'll be looking at the United States and how hostile it is towards everybody, and how they can punish Europe generally if they choose to. They've already punished us with tariffs. So the quest should be for more and more markets that bypass anything the United States offers.
And that certainly has been the hallmark of the Ursula von der Leyen second mission and second commission, that they are looking for, you know, the escalation of the CETA agreement with Canada. They're looking to South America, obviously, in terms of Mercosur. They're looking at Asia. They are obviously trying to do exactly what you're saying, is to, you know, buttress themselves from any potential impact from Washington. And I think the part of this is, you know, this has been long talked about. This has been long explored. There has been a real desire from Ursula von der Leyen and her commission to get this deal done. They've obviously had to annoy an awful lot of people and quite frankly have overridden the concerns of an awful lot of people, including Irish farmers and French farmers now as well. I think the reality is, speaking again to colleagues in Brussels overnight about this, Ireland and France tend to be seen as the most obstructionist around agricultural policies. We seem to be the most beholden to our agricultural lobby in this country. And that's definitely without question. It was made perfectly clear to me this morning. This has, as I said earlier, has an awful lot to do with managing that rural lobby in both the main two political parties. I will say there's a fair degree of annoyance in Cabinet towards the independent ministers, and Michael Healy-Raine in particular, given his overt criticism of the Taoiseach of the last 24 hours on this. So that's a dynamic that has to play. But given, I suppose, that they're now going to vote no, talk of people walking the plank now becomes moot.
Now, the question of sweeteners from Europe. I mean, there was a promise of sweeteners the other day. Just because we vote no doesn't mean we don't get the sweeteners.
No. So again, being briefed on this morning, looks like the next common agricultural policy deal will be set at a higher level to try and compensate farmers. So there will be an inherent kickback on that front in order to recognise the pain that's been kind of suffered here. There was a deal done on fertilisers. I think there was a derogation or kind of an easing of the burden in relation to fertilisers. So again, that's seen as a win for the Irish agricultural lobby. But ultimately, I think, Pat, we've seen this before with other major European deals. Just because you have to swallow a difficult pill on one level, they always find a way to kind of try and make it up at some other level. You know, the art of the fudge is well known in Brussels politics and bureaucracy, and we're seeing it here.
Now, some of the texts come in. Mercosur is good for European consumers. Ireland is not entirely a community of farmers. We're a country with a mid-sized European economy focused on tech and pharma. You'd swear 95% of us were still on the farm. This will lower consumer prices, and that's good for the majority here, so says Dan in Cork. Think it'll bring beef prices down locally?
Well, competition always does. The difficulty is, I suppose, again, given we're talking about relatively small numbers of, I don't see this as a market being completely and utterly changed. I mean, obviously there was an impact in relation to the dairy prices when milk quotas, etc. were brought in. We will see, I suppose, the charge against the farming lobby of the last couple of days is that they're scaremongering and that the impact has been overstated. But ultimately, I think from a consumer perspective, competition always brings lower prices.
Now, what about dairy? I heard someone say this morning, I think it was on the breakfast show here, that no one is talking about the benefit to dairy of exporting to those countries. I'm not sure how relevant that is.
It hasn't come across my radar massively in relation to this discussion because it's been very focused on the beef side, on the poultry side of it. But I mean, obviously, if there is a greater opportunity to trade, that's a two-way street in terms of that. You know, it's not just all one way. It's not like it's not all opening the door for Brazilian or South American farmers to come in here. There's a two-way street. So there obviously is then a potential for Ireland to export.
Interesting point from a listener. Seems like nobody cares about food security. We need to think what we're going to eat if the supply chain breaks down. Irish farmers are being put out of business by cheap, high-carbon footprint food and feed imports produced using pesticides and chemicals which are not allowed in the EU. Remember, no farmers, no food.
That's a fair point, and I think I have to give credit. I think the Irish Farmers Journal have done some excellent journalism in recent weeks in terms of highlighting the concerns around the quality of the beef that will essentially make its way into the European market. I mean, that's for the European Union and the Commission to ultimately satisfy the public that the standards, the beef that they're going to let into the market is of either an equivalent standard or that certainly doesn't pose any sort of additional risk.
Yeah, but the problem was that they had to take meat off the shelves here. And that was supposed to be detected at the factories in South America, not when it arrived in Europe.
Absolutely. And this is where I think this has been the strongest element of the criticism and the concerns raised by Irish farmers, is that it'll all be too late if something goes wrong. That's ultimately, I think, for the, those who are seeking to promote this deal and bed it in, they have to, I suppose, defend the stance that there will be enough protections there for people.
Eamon in Kilkenny kind of makes the point you made at the outset. Given the lack of electricity payment this winter, the extra tax on petrol and diesel, the rise in road tolls, the lack of change in the tax bands and the budget, this would have been the final nail in the government's coffin. And I think if they had sold out Irish agriculture on this matter, they would have been brought down. The independents would no longer be able to face their constituents, while Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are turning their supporters into their enemies, according to Eamon.
Yeah, and this has been a criticism of Fine Gael, particularly since it's been in government, that they have lost touch with their rural base. And this was obviously a hallmark of Simon Harris when he took over the leadership of trying to reconnect with this base. I think you probably saw a bit of it during the presidential election when Heather Humphreys, you know, sought to defend rural pursuits. As he said, they're very keen to reconnect with that base. But as I made that point, had they voted in support of this, they were opening the door to more Michael Healy Rays, more Sean Canny's independents in rural constituencies to basically eat their base. They weren't prepared to do that, so therefore they're taking a pragmatic, domestic, politically focused decision to go against this, knowing that it's still going to go through anyway.
Now, that point made that we are not really a nation of farmers anymore, and if you drive through rural France, I mean, it's depopulated. People have migrated to the cities, and obviously farming is much more efficient, so you don't need the same number
of
bodies.
Much larger scale as well.
Larger scale, but you don't need the same number of bodies to do the harvesting and the feeding and all the rest of it that you used to use. So you wonder, you know, when time comes for constituencies to be redrawn, how much of an urban parliament we will have compared to a rural parliament going forward.
Yeah, and that's been, I suppose, the debate, and that came up with the, remember when in the head of the last, all the electoral commission, they upped the number of TDs to reflect the increase in population. That urban rural divide came to the fore because there was some suggestion that there should almost be a premium or an added weight given to rural TDs to make sure that the depopulated areas don't get underrepresented in an increasingly urbanised rural. It is a factor. We do see
it
that.
It means that you're going to have larger constituencies.
Yeah.
You know, you get a 5-seater maybe encompassing 6 or 7 counties.
True. And on the reverse, you could see smaller but higher density constituencies in Dublin. Like, look at the size and geographical size of Dublin Central, where I live. Mm-hmm. It's a very small geographical space, but has 4 seats, but a very high level of population. We could see more of that.
Some of the texts coming in. Too little too late from Micheál Martin. His delaying has contributed to the likes of Italy agreeing to Mercosur. He undermined the blockade by his actions. Farmers will remember this betrayal, according to Mick and Meath. Another one. Food security is so important, we can't eat money. Brussels is telling us on the one hand that we need to be more green, while at the same time importing beef that is directly resulting in the devastation of the Brazilian rainforest.
It's a fair point.
Yeah, that's hypocrisy, isn't it, on the part of Brussels?
It's a fair point, yeah.
Yeah. Did COVID and the Evergreen ship locked in the Suez teach us anything? We have to be able to produce locally, from toilet paper to fundamental food. And Irish farmers expressing concern about the environment in Brazil is laughable. Think about the nitrates directive here.
Well, that, again, is another fair point. I mean, like, we have sought derogations and we've sought exemptions to allow essentially practice that's not in keeping with good environmental standards here. We've done it because the strength of the agriculture lobby in this country. We've done it because both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, again, are trying to reconnect with that base. And that's ultimately what we're seeing.
Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post. Daniel, thank you very much, Pat, for joining us in studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.